All right, good evening. We'll go ahead and get started. And we'll be in Matthew 12, 33. Matthew 12, 33. It's great to see everybody tonight. All right, Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening, so that we may gather all together and learn of what your word has to say, to further guide our lives, to further sanctify us, so that we may become more like your Son. Lord, we thank you that you make it so plain that the tree is either good, therefore its fruit is good, or the tree is bad, therefore its fruit is bad as well. For you can look among the people, and sadly you can see good fruit among bad trees. And you command them, you call them out, to either make the tree good or make it bad, therefore calling out the hypocrisy. So Lord, let us not be the hypocrite. Let us be, by your righteousness alone, a good tree, so that we may produce good fruit that you have set forth for us to walk in. Lord, let us learn from your word tonight. Let me do my best to speak your truth so that we may be further sanctified and further made into the image of your Son. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus uses this parable of good and bad trees, as well as good and bad fruit, in multiple places throughout the Gospels. As we will see with each parable, two found in Matthew, Matthew 7, 15 and 23, and Matthew 12, 33 through 37, which we've already read, and one found in Luke, Luke 6, 43 through 45, deal with different aspects of our Christian walk that we will face or be exposed to, such as hypocrites, false prophets, and Pharisees. We will navigate through all three portions of Scripture, but Matthew 12 will be our Scripture of focus tonight. So Matthew 12, 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Placing this scripture within its context, Jesus has just healed a demon-possessed, blind, mute man, and the crowds are questioning if this can be the Son of David. No doubt the people attributing the miracles taking place to the Son of David, prophecies, are possibly wondering, is this going to be he that establishes the throne of David once again? Are Judah going to be saved and Israel dwell securely through this man? Let's look at these prophecies. 2 Samuel 7. Beginning in verse 12, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. as well as Isaiah 11:1. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And one last one that we'll check is Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. So the people may very well be wondering, is this being fulfilled in our very sight? The Pharisees, on the other hand, are concerned about losing their status, their power, and the nation. Even though they were the religious leaders and teaching the people to be watching for the coming Messiah, they did not want him to come. Let's turn to John 11. John 11, and beginning in verse 47, will show us this fact. John 11, 47, therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So again, the religious leaders were looking for the coming Messiah. They were searching the scriptures, and they were teaching the people as well, but it was all about power and status. So, because of these things playing out, the Pharisees seek to discredit Jesus by attributing his signs and wonders to the works of Satan instead of glorifying God, bringing us to Jesus telling the Pharisees to make the tree and its fruit that comes from it either good or make it bad, for by the fruit is how the tree is known. So let us pause here and consider what is being stated. Jesus is saying the fruit is not what makes the tree good or bad, but the tree is what makes the fruit such. The Pharisees were whitewashed tombs, cups and dishes full of robbery and self-indulgence, but they were producing very religious fruit. Our parallel scriptures give similar insight. Let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Let's turn as well to Luke 6. Luke 6, and beginning in verse 43. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. The Pharisees were displaying fruit that shouldn't be being displayed with their nature, which is the first issue that needs to be addressed within this verse. Again, Jesus is making the statement to them to either make. We know that unless there is a washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, initially, any fruit that is produced contrary to the nature of the tree is done so through a self-righteousness. Jesus is calling them to recognize their depraved nature, and the fruit being produced is a false fruit. Let's turn to Matthew 12 again. Matthew 12 and 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Due to the obstinance of their heart, Jesus minces no words at this point and plainly puts it forth that they, being evil, cannot speak that which is truly good, because the intent and attitude of the heart overflows to the mouth. Some today would say, my filter's broke. Let's turn to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, beginning in verse 7. But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The Pharisees, as we are seeing, were very bad about lineage righteousness. So they believed that because they were of the lineage of Abraham, that they were automatically allowed into the kingdom of God. So we can see also that this is not the first time that the Pharisees have been rebuked by God to flee their own self-righteousness and trust in the coming promised seed of Abraham. And yet when the very fulfillment of that promise is rebuking them, they continue to place their trust in that which cannot save them. Let's turn to John 5. John 5, beginning in verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. So we see again here, Jesus not mincing words with the Pharisees about their own self-righteousness. They were the religious leaders and teachers at the time, but yet they were not adequately pointing to the coming Messiah, and they were so blind by their self-righteousness that they were not able to see that Jesus was the Messiah and fulfilling of the prophecies. So Jesus laying their sin bare before them, and it only further hardens their heart, and they do not heed the stern rebuke that they cannot speak good because they are evil, and that evil is abundant. So abundant that it overflows from their heart and displays who they truly are. And of course, there's plenty of scripture that can be shared to solidify this. Let's turn to Matthew 12 again. Matthew 12 and 35. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Jesus continues his rebuke of them, further exposing their hypocrisy and self-righteousness. We must pause for a moment again and reflect upon what Jesus is saying occurs. Good treasure comes from out of the good man, and evil treasure comes from out of the evil man. When the thought comes across, when you hear that phrase, the good comes out of the good and the evil comes out of the evil, and you say to yourself, I'm glad good comes out of my treasure. And pride swells up. May God have mercy upon you and the Holy Spirit convict you of the very sin Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for and grant you repentance. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 18. Luke 18 and 9, beginning in verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we see again that the Pharisees were so self-righteous that in their prayers to God, their petitions to God, they couldn't even glorify God in a proper manner because they felt that it was coming from themselves rather than a blessing and the graciousness of God. So as we've already established from Titus 3:5, that without a washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins and continue to be filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. The only treasure we would be bringing out would be continually evil. So due to this work of God within your heart, you have had the law of God written on your heart and mind, humbling you and convicting you of your sinful life, changing your very nature, making you capable of having good treasure. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians 1. We'll begin in verse 10. Philippians 1:10. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Turn back to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and 36. But I tell you that every careless word that you people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Jesus completes out the harsh rebuke with a final warning by bringing about that final day, the day of judgment. It's almost the final brick in a finely crafted structure that has been being built. Jesus is pointing out their fault, telling them, change this, since you are so righteous. But that only condemns them further because it's a righteousness coming from trust in self and not trust in the true righteousness that comes from repentance and trust in Christ. Then Jesus plainly tells them, you're evil. Nothing you say is good, and you don't have anything in you that is good, even though you think it is. And again, finally, Jesus says, you will give account for this. You will stand before God and give an account for every self-righteous, careless utterance, puffing or building up of yourself, and condemning, breaking down of others. Let's turn to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 18. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Let's turn to Malachi 3. Malachi 3, beginning in verse 13. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Turn back to Matthew. In verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus very plainly finishes this out with the why, just to be certain that understanding is accomplished. There are times when a spelling out of the bigger picture that must be given, so that no details is left to interpretation or misunderstanding. Jesus wraps it in a neat little bow. It will be your words that help justify you, or it will be your words that will help condemn you. Don't misunderstand that it is our words that cause salvation. But in this instance, remember, out of the good treasure comes good, and out of the evil treasure comes evil. How only is a man considered good? If the Holy Spirit washes and changes his nature, conviction and repentance are granted him by God, and that man is called to place his trust in the righteousness or good of Christ. Then and only then is a man counted good in the sight of God and able to bring about good. We know from Ephesians 2:10 that even the good that we are now capable of was prepared beforehand by God so that we could walk in them. So even our good works, quote unquote good works, are not of ourselves. Words will justify you because you have been made righteous. James 2. Beginning in verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Words will condemn you because you are proving you are evil, and you have not had your nature changed by grace. 1 John. 1 John 3. We'll be beginning in verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Let's turn to Titus 3 as well. Titus 3, beginning in verse 10. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Jesus finishes this exchange with the Pharisees in the manner he does because, remember, they were condemning Jesus with their words, rejecting the works of God, attributing those works to Satan, and speaking it out with their words for others to hear. So in conclusion, let us know that there is no good in us other than that which God has allowed and brought to full bloom within our lives, being produced and seen as fruit of good works, which should only bring God glory and not self-praise. So let us continue to strive to walk in the good works which God has prepared for us, love our neighbor as ourselves in deed and word, and therefore justifying ourselves on the basis that faith is alive and active through works of loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and again, loving our neighbor as ourselves, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we ask that we do not find ourselves in the trap of self-righteousness, that we not be a hypocrite, or any of those other things that we heard listed that comes out of an evil heart. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy that has changed our heart and our mind and allowed us, only through the work of you and the righteousness of Christ, to bring about good fruit, to glorify you and to form us more into the image of Christ. Lord, may we love you fully and wholly as we are meant to do, and may we love our neighbor as ourselves, putting ourselves beneath our neighbor and actually putting our neighbor first, not becoming a mat, but truly loving them as Christ loves them. If they are unbelievers, give us the boldness to speak the truth of your love to them. Allow us to speak the law and the gospel where needed. And Lord, we thank you again for this time of gathering. We praise you and thank you once again in Christ's name. Amen.